Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. So glad you would join us on this Sunday morning, and not just Sunday morning, but Memorial Day weekend. And so, listen, if you're a U.S. veteran, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. A special shout out to our Every Nation veterans. I just want to give you their names. We have Kim Farley. We got Liana Quadrado. We have Ron Tebow, David Carta, Eddie Rios. I just want to tell you, y'all are amazing. And we're just so grateful to call you part of our family and for how you serve our country. And as well, I want to remind you as well that we are here as a church to serve you. And so if you need prayer, if you need any counseling, anything like that, please feel free to, you can email us at info@everynationnj.org. Or if you'd like to pray with a virtual prayer counselor, please just join our Facebook live feed immediately following the broadcast, and you can pray with an actual prayer counselor at that time. And so, lastly, before we get into the Word of God this morning, I want to remind you, as always, that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. And unfortunately, this past week we lost a great man of God who is in glory right now, and his name is Ravi Zacharias. And I can remember reading one of his books, The Grand Weaver, and he shares the story of Elgin Staples. So Elgin Staples, he was a third class midshipman for the U.S. Navy. It was during World War II. And Elgin Staples, while they took on heavy air fire, he was actually blown off the USS Astoria. He fell out into the oceans, but immediately he had a life belt that deployed around him. And by the grace of God, he was scooped up by a rescue ship. But then that rescue ship was blown up. And once again, he was tossed into the oceans. But that life belt was the thing that kept him alive until again he was rescued and brought back to the United States. And as he was traveling back to the United States, he kept looking at this life belt that was made by Firestone. And he's thinking to himself, wow, this thing saved my life. And as he looked, there was a serial code on it. And he actually told his mother, he says, "Mom, look at this, is the life belt that saved me." And his mom looked at the serial number on the life belt. She just happened to be working for Firestone, and that was her serial number. See, the one that gave him life was actually the one that saved his life. And I say all that to say this, is that, you know, that I believe that the tithe is God's provision for us, that as we give to him, God is able to give to us what we need during times of emergency, uncertainty, that God promises that he's going to supply our each and every need. And so I want to encourage you in that you can remain faithful in your tithing and your giving virtually. And so if you'd like to, you can give, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit on the giving icon. Or my family and I, we like to give via the PushPay app. And so you can just text ENCNJ to 77977. Or if you're old school and you want to do snail mail, you can mail your check or offering to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plain, New Jersey. And as always, God bless you as you give. And so, listen, we got to get into the Word of God. And so I hope you're gathered around now. You got your Bible. You have your cup of Joe, your cup of coffee. By the way, if some of you need to gather your pets, you can do that. I did receive two photographs of cats watching our broadcast. So we're reaching heathen cats out there as well. But let me start with a story. October 4th, 2008, it was the UFC super fight. And it pitted two people, Kimbo Slice versus Ken Shamrock. And if you don't know who they are, like, Kimbo Slice was this renowned street fighter. He became, he found fame through YouTube, and they were watching. It was an actual street fight where he became the champions of the streets. And now he became a professional UFC fighter. And, if you've never seen him or heard of him, he is terrifying, right? Think Mr. T times 10. All right. And so that's Kimbo Slice. And he was set to fight, Ken Shamrock. Unfortunately, literally hours before the fight, Ken Shamrock received an injury, so he's unable to fight. And so what they weren't sure what they were going to do. And then out of the blue, someone steps up. His name is Seth Petruzzelli. And he says, I'll stand in and I'll fight Kimbo Slice. Seth Petruzzelli was 30 pounds lighter than Kimbo, a relative unknown in the UFC. And yet he steps into the octagon. And as the ring starts to begin the fight, Kimbo comes charging out at Seth Petruzzelli. And Petruzzelli hits him with a solid punch to the chin, drops him, and then begins to beat him to the earth. Are you glad you came to Every Nation New Jersey Church this morning? He began to beat Kimbo to the ground until 14 seconds later, Seth wins by knockout. And so as Seth stood over his defeated opponent, arms raised as a champion, I would like to take you back 3,000 years from that moment, if I could. And there was another stand-in, if you will. There was a young shepherd boy by the name of David. He was outmatched, undersized, and yet when we see him to fight this great warrior by the name of Goliath, we see that David is running to this battle to fight this warrior giant. And he unleashes a rock that strikes Goliath in the forehead, and he fells the great giant. And as he stands over the giant, he removes the giant's sword and then removes the giant's head. And before he's declared the champion, that David picks up the head of Goliath and he shows it, and he stands above the fallen opponent, and he flashes the severed head to the armies of Israel that respond with a roar that they found their champion. And of course, I'm describing to you the story of David and Goliath as found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 of your Bible. And if you could keep that image of David standing triumphant over Goliath, can I give you the backstory, how we got to that point? Now, if you would, like, the very first king over Israel was a man by the name of Saul. And Saul, he began as a good king, but then he began to become consumed with what people thought of him. In fact, he was more worried about what people thought than what God Almighty thought. And so God says, I'm going to remove Saul as king, and I'm going to set in a man after my own heart. And so God sends the prophet Samuel out to Bethlehem to a man named Jesse. And Jesse has 8 sons. And Samuel says to bring your sons out and to stand them before me. And so he sends out only 7 sons. And Samuel looks at them and he's overcome. He says, this must be the next king. And yet God has to tell them, no, 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 it's none of these sons. And God says these words that maybe you'll remember, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so Samuel asks, are these all your sons? And the forgotten son, David, was out with the sheep in the field. And so Jesse sends for his 8th son, David. David stands before Samuel the prophet, and the prophet cracks open the anointing oil of the king of Israel and pours it over David's head. If I can read from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says this, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You know what Didn't happen right after that. David's anointed, and then he runs and kills Goliath. That's not in the Bible, because that's not what happened. If David would have ran to Goliath in that point, what would have happened? It says David ran to the giant. David was killed by the giant. End of story, and the credits would roll. See, because David, he had his calling, his new calling, and a fresh anointing. But he was going to have to learn how to walk in that anointing. And so how God's going to do that? God's going to send him back out into the wilderness. And that's the series we find ourselves in. We've been going over and over this theme of how God takes us through the wilderness to train us and to prepare us. And God was going to do the same for King David. And so let me give you, I'm a pastor, I have to have 3 points. Let me give you point number one is this. See, David was going to have to learn, an anointed one learns to strike the lion. An anointed one learns to strike the lion. Let me read from you 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 35. It says this, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him.'" And so we have to learn as anointed ones of God to strike the lion. And so a little story, my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, I'm guessing she was about 13 years old. And I was actually doing a church service in Manhattan when I received the call from my wife that my daughter Elizabeth had collapsed in our house, and she was spiking a fever. Well, my wife called for the ambulance, and so, you know, I'm crying out to God, driving home, and I meet my wife at the hospital, and my daughter's there with the IV, and come to find out she'd had this this wound get infected in her leg, and it was swollen and pussy, and then the doctor came in, and he said this. He says, "Mr. Burt, we're going to have to lancet that wound, and we're going to have to drain it." And the moment he left the room, my daughter looked at me, and she says, "Daddy, is that going to hurt?" And you can understand, like, being a parent, being in that moment, I just didn't want to lie to my kid. And so I told her, I was like, "Baby girl, it's probably going to hurt. But here's what I want you to know, that it's going to make you better. And Daddy's going to be here right through the whole thing." And the reason why I share that story is I didn't want to lie to my daughter, and I don't want to lie to us as a people that, listen, we're in a difficult season. We've been fighting through this pandemic throughout the globe, and yet then we still have to have the economic recovery and all these different things. And so I don't want to lie to us. I think we need to be aware of and be prepared for, hey, this is probably going to hurt a little bit, that we're going to head into a difficult season. But here's where the word of encouragement comes into us, and is that anointed ones, they rise up and they strike the lion. Anointed ones, they rise up and strike the lion. That we're not going to shrink back. We're not going to curl up in a ball and suck our thumbs if life gets difficult. But we're going to embrace difficult situations, and we're going to hit it straight on with the punch of faith, because there are no victims in the kingdom of God. None. And so we need to learn to embrace difficulty, to pursue the lion that's trying to steal from us. And we need to get everything back that the enemy tries to take. And I'm sure many of you have heard of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But do you know that researchers and scientists are finding out there's a flip side to PTSD? It's called PTG. It's post-traumatic growth. That they're finding that you know what? That there's a flip side to trauma, difficulty, a wilderness season. That if you learn to embrace it, you can actually grow and become better through the trauma, and it can be life-altering for the good. And that's who the anointed ones of God are going to be through this. Let me tell you this. Satan is a bully, and he's a liar. he's a bully and he's a liar. And if there's one thing I've learned about bullies, bullies hate to get hit back. And so one more little kid story. You're probably not going to think I'm a very good parent once again, but I was watching, Lizzie was much younger at this time. And sorry, Lizzie, you're getting all the stories today. Is my daughter Lizzie, she's probably about 4 years old, and she was playing outside, and the neighbor little boy was probably about a couple years older than her. And I noticed he kept stealing all her toys. Until one time he shoved her down to the ground. My daughter came in and she was crying. I was like, come here, baby girl. And so daddy's nursing her back to it's going to be okay. Yeah, yeah. But then I took my little girl and I looked at her in her face. I was like, baby girl, this is what we're going to do. Next time that happens, we'll just call him Johnny. When little Johnny takes you and he pushes you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and I want you to make a fist like this. And I want you to hit him as hard as you can right on the end of his nose. And I promise you, he'll never do that to you again. So believe me, before you send me an email or that, oh my gosh, what a bad dad. My wife stopped me and told my daughter not to do that. And so it's bad parenting, but it's excellent preaching that we need to, there needs to be an aggression to faith. Like faith at times can be violent. And here's what I mean by that is this is, do you know that Jesus, he actually said this, that from the time of John the Baptist until now, he says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So don't hear me saying like jihad or we need to be militant. What I'm saying is that we need to spiritually contend for the kingdom of God coming here to earth, to contend for all that God has given us in his son, Jesus Christ. And so listen, you need to know this, is that there's a shout to faith. There just is. When Joshua took Jericho, what did God say? He says, when you shout, that the walls will come crashing down. Remember in the Gospels, blind Bartimaeus, a blind man, and as Jesus was walking by, he began to cry out with a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then when they told him to be quiet, what did he do? He cranked up the volume. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And listen, it might not, he maybe didn't listen to the apostles, but I tell you this, he got his healing and his sight back. Why? Because sometimes, man, there's just a shout to faith. I'll say this, this faith, it's not passive, but it's aggressive. That there's, we remember the woman with the issue of blood, that she had wasted all her finances and all these things on all these cures and nothing began to work. But she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And so the Bible's clear. She had to fight through the crowd in order to grab a hold of Jesus. But we realized that, see, she wasn't passive. She wasn't a victim, but she was going to aggressively go grab a hold of the hem of Jesus's garment. That Jacob in your Old Testament, it says this, that Jacob, he wrestled with God and he declared this, I will not let go until you bless me. See, there is an aggression to faith. If I haven't driven the point home yet, I'm going to do one more. You know, sometimes faith is not polite. I'll share this story. As you remember the story of Jesus is going to heal Jairus's daughter. And he goes into the room and he says, don't worry, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And if you recall, it says that they laughed Jesus and began to scorn him. See, sometimes faith can't be polite. Now you'll read your Bible and it says this, that Jesus put them outside so he could go heal this little girl. But the word put them outside, while it sounds real neat and polite, it's the word ekbalo. It means to drive out, to kick out. It's the same word they use when it says that Jesus drove out with a whip the money changers. That Jesus just had to kick this unbelieving, non-faith-having people out of the room. Why? So faith could arise because there's an aggression to faith. So sometimes faith isn't polite. So David in this season, in the wilderness, is being taught by God how to walk in war in the anointing that it received from God. Psalm 144, verse 1, a psalm of David, it reads like this: Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. See, we will not be victims in this, but we're going to be victors in the name of Jesus Christ, because we're going to learn to grab the lion. Let me do point number two is this. An anointed one sees obstacles as opportunities for God. An anointed one sees obstacles as opportunities for God. Let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 11 through 12. Just to set it up, the giant is just mocking the armies of Israel, and everyone's terrified, but we're going to see a contrast because someone different is on the scene. Spoiler alert, his name is David. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 11 to 12. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had eight sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. And so we see there's a contrast that there were cowards on the scene, and then there was this young man, David, the son of an Ephrathite. And see that idea. See, next time you're driving on the expressway and someone cuts you off, you can just under your window, shake your fist at them. You son of an Ephrathite. See, you don't know this, but you'll be blessing them, because this is the Bible's way of telling us that there was something special about David because he was the son of an Ephrathite. See, this is the Bible's way of showing us that he was related to a man who had the spirit of faith on his life, that there was giant killer DNA inside of David, because David, he was a descendant of a man by the name of Caleb. You know, the word Caleb, it means dog. This is a man who had some dog in him, all right, that he was fighting, that when Caleb possessed the promised land, he says, give me the highlands. But they said, that's where the Anak are, the giants. And Caleb's like, those are the lands that I want. He was a giant killer. And so Caleb had the spirit of faith on his life. I'm reminded of the story of Colonel Chesty Puller. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. Colonel Chesty Puller is the most decorated Marine of all time. When you see a picture of him, he's got more medals on him. It makes his shirt hang down. All right. And Colonel Puller, he was a man who had the spirit of faith on his life, because it was known when he attacked a battle, it was full speed ahead. There was no retreat. In fact, there's an infamous story about him that the enemy, I believe it was during the Korean War, they realized this guy's crazy and he's just going to keep going full force. And so what the enemy did is they began to fall back, and Chesty Puller, he outran his supply lines, and then the enemy circled back and surrounded him. And so history records this battle where he's surrounded, and one of his commanding officers radios back to Colonel Chesty Puller. He says, Colonel, he says, we're surrounded. The enemy's in front of us, behind us. They're all around us. What are we going to do? And Puller's response was amazing. He says, the enemy's in front of us, behind us, all around us. They can't escape us now. That, my friends, is the spirit of faith that doesn't see obstacles, but sees opportunities everywhere. And that's the spirit on the anointed ones of God. That you remember Joshua and Caleb. Moses sent in 12 spies to scout out the promised land. But two, Joshua and Caleb, they had the spirit of faith on them, and they came back with a good report. But 10, they came back and all they saw were obstacles. And they gave the evil report of this. They said, the land's amazing, but there's giants, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We cannot go to battle against them. And Caleb fell to his feet and he began to rip his garments. And he says this, listen, if God is pleased with us, we will surely be able to take all the land. See, Caleb, he saw opportunity where others saw obstacles. And unfortunately, the majority won the evil report, and it left Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But eventually, God would be sure. Caleb, the man with the spirit of faith on his life, he would enter in. Let me read to you Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 24. It says this. God says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." So I need to ask you this morning, are you someone that sees obstacles or opportunity? Listen, like there was a Red Sea, and those that didn't have the spirit of faith, they saw an obstacle, but others saw an opportunity for God to crush those that had enslaved his people. That Lazarus being dead and in the grave for 4 days, many people just saw an insurmountable obstacle, but God says, this is an opportunity for me to flex and show you that I am the resurrection and the life. And that Jesus hanging on a cross and put it in a grave for 3 days seems like an insurmountable obstacle. But yet on the third day, when that stone was rolled away, we realized this is it was God's opportunity to redeem mankind back to himself. And so listen, there are going to be plenty of opportunities to see obstacles everywhere as we come out of this COVID-19 pandemic. But those that have the spirit of faith, the anointed ones, that will believe that obstacles are simply opportunities for God to do something amazing in their life, they're the ones that are going to win on the backside of this thing. And listen, anointed one of God, I want that for you in your life and for mine. And so let me do point number three is this. Point number three, if you're a note taker, and I'm a pastor, so we always have to have 3 points, is this. Anointed ones decide to be great where they are. Anointed ones decide to be great right where they are. In other words, you're not waiting around to be great. Listen, don't wait till the quarantine and the stay-at-home orders are over with to be great. Be great where you are. Don't wait until the economy recovers to be great. Be great where you are. Don't wait for a vaccine to be great. Be great where you are, because anointed ones are great where they are. So I was reading the book Chicken Soup for the Soul. I'm not even sure how many versions there are, but there's several of those. And was reading for a little pick-me-up, and many of you might be familiar with this story. It's the story of a little Jason, who is a high school football player. And I use the word a player loosely because he rarely, if ever, got onto the field. But he was one of these kids. Jason was one who just worked real hard in practice. It was always faithful and showing up. And equally as faithful with his father, who is always seen up in the stands. At the end of his senior year, Jason had played very, very little. And before the final homecoming game, Jason approaches the coach with this kind of terrorized look in his face. And he cried out to the coach, "Coach, please, you have to start me in the final game." And the coach is like, "Jace, that's not going to happen." But he was so determined that coach thought, surely, well, maybe I'll just let him handle the kickoff. And so coach put him in the starting lineup. And Jason's team kick off to the opposing team. And Jason shot out to the other side of the field. And he hit the opposing team so hard, he dislodged the ball and the other team recovered. Who is this kid? And as the game began to go on and on, the coach couldn't even pull Jason out of the game because he was excelling so much. Until finally the final buzzer goes, the team wins, and Jason and the team, they celebrate and they go into the dressing room. And then out of the corner of the coach's eye, he sees Jason violently sobbing in the corner. And coach, he goes over and he says, "Jason, why are you crying? You had the greatest game I've ever seen you play." And he had this response. He says, "Coach," he says, you know, "my dad never missed a practice, right?" And coach says, "Yeah, your father, he used to listen to every practice." See, because Jason's father was blind. And he says, well, coach, he says, my dad passed away this past week. And today it was the first game my father got to see me play. And listen, that's an amazing story. And I almost like tear up every time I read it. But the reality is, it's probably not true. But it is true that we do have a heavenly father that is continually watching his kids. That is our reality. The anointed one, we play for an audience of one. And so David, King David, the anointed one, was both a warrior, but we know this as well, he was a worshiper. Did you know that David, he is the most prolific songwriter you have in your Bible, that he wrote about 75 of the Psalms in your Bible, that Jesus quoted these Psalms more than any other book in the Bible. So take that, Taylor Swift, like David outdid you at being a songwriter, because David was not just a warrior, but he was a worshiper. But David knew this, is that worship is much, much, much more than just singing. That worship is a life given over to God. It's our entire life. That the Apostle Paul is going to say this, that we're to live as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. One of my life verses is the book of Colossians says this, whatever you do, you do it heartily as for the Lord and not as unto men. And so our entire life is worship unto God. And so David wasn't going to wait till he was crowned king to be great. But David decided, nope, I'm going to be great right here in the field with these sheep. And so David was a great shepherd. And if you don't believe me, just ask the lion and the bear. Come to find out later on that David, he was pretty great on the harp. He was such a great harp player that when he played, demons flew. So listen, that's pretty good. David, he was great with the sling. And if you don't believe me, just go ask Goliath. And so in everything David put his hand to, he determined, I'm going to be the best I can be to the glory of God. I'll take it out of the scriptures and into, many of us have heard of Johann Sebastian Bach, the great composer, and that Bach, at the end of every one of his compositions, would write the letters SDG. It stands for this, Soli Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. And you know, that is what we're to do as anointed ones, worshipers of God. That, I'm trying to think, in the scriptures, it even says this, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So who knew that there's a way to drink coffee in such a way that brings glory to God, whatever you do. And so listen, don't wait till we get out of this pandemic to be great, but let's start today. Listen, you might be trapped in your home, but why don't you do this? Hey, be the best mom you can be to the glory of God. Be the best husband you can be to the glory of God. Listen, if you're a single person, man, be the best single person you can be to the glory of God. Start reaching out to friends. The Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he didn't just stop and say, well, listen, I'm just a victim or whatever. He says, I'm going to be great in this prison. And what does he do? He writes the prison epistles that we read in our New Testament today. And so I want to encourage you, be great where you are. And right about now, many of you are getting very angry with me because I've heard from a lot of people, hey, this quarantine, this social distancing has been unbelievably hard. And many of us, we just feel like we're failing a lot, failing as a spouse, failing as a parent, failing as a single person, failing in a lot of areas. And so can I just, listen, I'm going to tell you a little secret. David was the anointed one of God, but I want to tell you something. He was the anointed one of God. He was a man after God's own heart. And yet David was going to have some epic, epic fails in his life. Listen, I'm not telling you need to be perfect. Listen, there's only one perfect person, and his name is Jesus. But what I am saying is wherever you are and whatever you're doing, let's have the posture of playing for an audience of one. And so if I'm doing dishes, I want to do it and say, Lord, this is for you. And I'm going to be the best dishwasher there is, right? And so on and so forth. And so I just want to encourage you, you don't have to be perfect, but have a posture of praise unto God. In fact, I was reading another book called The Culture Code, and it was interesting. They were interviewing the president for Disney's Pixar, and he had this amazing quote. He says the president for Disney Pixar says this, all our movies stink at first. And I just thought that was so, like, it really caught my attention. He says, all my movies stink at first, but then they have a process. A little tweak here. We're going to scrap this. We're going to rewrite that. And then by the time they're through, you get what? Toy Story, Up. You get all these great Disney Pixar films. And so what he's saying is this, is each day, I just want to get a little bit better. And that's my appeal to you. Let's take each day and say, hey, I'm going to be great today to the glory of God, the best I can be. And if I fail, you know what I'm going to do? The great news is God says this, I get a heavenly do-over. It's called repenting. I heard an amazing story this past week of a couple. They actually do marriage retreats and whatnot. And they said oftentimes they're both type A, and things can escalate in their marriage. And when they realize that both of them are going sideways and missing each other, they have this exercise where they'll say this. They'll stop and they'll say 3, 2, 1, start over. And then they start afresh and new. They forget what's behind. And I want to appeal to you. If you're feeling like I'm failing in this COVID-19, 3, 2, 1, let's start over. All right. So Paul's going to say it a little bit differently. He says, I forget what's behind and I strain towards right ahead. But you're going to win the day because you're an anointed one of God. And I want to close with this. So David slays Goliath. And listen, about 1,000 years after that event, there's going to be a great descendant of David walk the earth. His name is Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christos. Christ, it's Christos in Greek, and it means this, the anointed one. Jesus the anointed one. And he too would be in an epic battle on our behalf. See that there is this great giant that no man could slay, the giant of sin and death. And yet Jesus, the anointed one, he goes to the cross and he gives his life on our behalf. He dies our death. And in dying, he absorbs death for you and for me. And on the third day, he gets up. And he stands over death, hell, and the grave. And he says this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I got the key to life and to Hades. And so God is offering that to us today. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the anointed one, that Jesus says, I have the keys of life for you. And so if you would like to receive Jesus, the great champion, and his victory on our behalf, do you know it's as simple as a prayer this morning? And listen, I want to pray the prayer of faith for you to receive Jesus Christ. And if you want him to come in and be your Lord and Savior, would you please just repeat this prayer after me? Or if you don't want to pray it out loud, maybe you're embarrassed or self-conscious, man, could you just say a hearty amen at the end of this? And God will honor that prayer. So I'd like to pray for you this morning. So Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you that we can meet together digitally. And Lord, I believe there's no accidents, but everybody watching this broadcast now, it's by heavenly design. And so, Lord, I want to pray for people now that will want to receive you. And so please repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I love you. Please come into my heart. I receive your sacrifice from the cross. And I receive you now this morning as my Savior, my Lord, and my champion, in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, could you give me, shout the shout of faith, amen. And listen, if you're already a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, I just want to remind you that you are an anointed one, and that as anointed ones, we're going to embrace seasons of difficulty. We're going to grab the lion. Listen, as anointed ones, we're not going to see obstacles, but we're going to see opportunities for God to move on our behalf. And we are going to do this as anointed ones. We're going to be great where we are. God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.